Big thank you to our guy Grant Paulson, who joined us at about 10:40. If you missed any of that conversation, download the always free Odyssey app. Use the Odyssey Rewind feature and go back to the 10:40 segment to hear my convo with Grant Paulson, who was out at Nats Park last night, where the Curly W's have now won 5 in a row. Robert Hassel with a historic debut. Nats begin a weekend series with the San Francisco Giants coming up later this afternoon. Man, a lot going on. So I want to correct myself. Kevin, not back with you Monday because it's a holiday. I'm back with you Wednesday. Denton will be in the other couple of days.
It's true.
Okay, so I'll correct myself.
It's a busy week next week.
The schedule is scheduling is the best way that I would put it.
Sure.
I did not look at the schedule. Next week, next Wednesday, as you know, is the start of voluntary OTAs for the Washington Commanders. So that's where I thought I was going to be during the hours of this program, but that is clearly not the case. Anywho, from that to this.
You get to hang out with me.
I get to hang out with you. We get to have a time. We'll have somebody on from the park. It'll be tremendous.
Sure.
It'll be tremendous. Now, what I wanted to get to right now, speaking of the park and the old burgundy and gold, Commanders, as I just mentioned, first full team session available to the media is next week. So super excited about that. I know the guys have been working hard over there in Ashburn, including the quarterback who looks ripped. Can I get on that weight training program, please?
Right.
I mean, it looks damn good.
Like, I thought you were blowing smoke when we were talking about the neck thing.
Dude,
and then they put that picture out yesterday. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
All right.
He has definitely put on some weight. The one thing that always with quarterbacks, and this is just me being, it's me acting like Chris Russell, honestly, just being scared of nothing.
He's rubbing off on you.
You always worry, does accuracy or anything get impacted by adding arm strength and mass and muscle?
Because I think that happened to, I want to say it was Lamar. Because he
put on some weight.
He put on some weight, and then it affected like his throwing motion, and then he had to, in the next offseason, drop the weight. And that was, I think, a big story last year going into the year.
And he's back to it. Now, here's the saving grace, I would say, for our pal Jaden Daniels. Already a better passer than Lamar.
True.
Sorry, Lamar.
That's true.
But I just think he's such an effortless thrower of the football that I don't think there's anything that anyone could do or that he could do that would mess up his mechanics. And I know, you know, from listening to his quarterback coach who's been on with John Kime several different times, they're so specific is the best way I
think you were about to say anal about it. Yeah.
But it just sounded the context of it was crazy.
But yes.
They hone in on the mechanics part of his game, and you know, it's so important and valuable to him that I don't think there's anything that can mess up his mechanics because it's something that he works on so much.
Constantly.
Every day. That being said, like him adding weight and mass, the days of you defenders in the NFL whacking him and he flies 50 feet are over. Okay? I'm so excited that he's putting on weight. He was such a badass last year, man. And every time I get to talking about Washington and Washington Commander football, I get geeked up for a good 30 seconds to a minute because it's like, damn.
We got him.
You know what I'm saying? For the entirety of my lifetime, we were chasing. Mm-hmm. We were chasing that franchise-altering guy.
Chasing now, the dragon.
You know what I'm saying? Now the dragon is blowing smoke in our building. And it's been absolutely brilliant. I can't wait to see him in this offense take the field next year. Speaking of this offense, I think a couple of new pieces, right? Deebo Samuel added to the fold. Your first-round rookie right tackle, we assume, Josh Connerly, added to the fold. Former All-Pro Laremy Tunsil. Your fourth-round rookie, Jalen Lane. One guy that I have my eyes peeled for that I know the fan base is giving no shot to make the team and not giving him really any respect at all is Michael Gallup. I think Michael Gallup is someone, and I know that a lot of folks out there looked at that signing and went, over the hill, Cowboy connection. You know, is that the reason we should be excited about him? The reason I think you should be excited about Michael Gallup, and this may be a steamy take, shocker, right? When people walk away from the sport, they do it for a reason. Everyone's got their own reason. It could be family issues. It could be health. It
could be Hunter Renfro, where you drop down to like 140 pounds.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It could be, you know, anything could cause you, you know, to have to move on. But when you have the drive and the work ethic to get yourself back into shape, and any athlete out there understands, a lot harder to get back in shape after you've already been the man physically, right?
Or so any about, of us, really. Yes. Yeah.
Well,
you and I both know.
Literally. Yeah. You and I both know very well. It's hard as hell. It ain't easy. So the fact that he has put in the requisite work to get himself onto an NFL roster, be a training camp body is what most of you are describing him as. I will go back to this. And Brian, our video producer, I know you can attest to this. When Michael Gallup and Noah Brown were in Dallas together, Michael Gallup, clearly the more decorated of the two receivers, clearly the better of the two receivers. I expect that to remain true this year in Washington. And I know Noah Brown was a godsend for us last year, right? Came out of nowhere in his first game action with this franchise. He won the game for them against the Giants, pretty much. That being said, Michael's faster than Noah Brown. Mike's got better hands than Noah Brown. He has always been a better receiver than him, so I would not count Michael Gallup out, especially if you were in the camp of one Noah Brown last year. Now, going to be difficult for Noah Brown, I would say, to replicate last year's success because he really did come out of nowhere. The other thing he had a knack for was drawing defensive pass interference penalties down the field, led the NFL in defensive pass interference yards. So that's a stat that matters, especially with our guy, Jaden, who has an affinity for throwing the deep ball. With that being said, like, can he replicate it? You know who else I wonder, can they replicate last year's success? Aaron Schatz put out his most underrated starters at every position entering next year. And there's one commander that makes this list. One commander that makes this list. And it's a commander that
made the headline.
He's made the headline, going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer when he retires. He's got Zach Ertz rated as the most underrated tight end in all of the National Football League. And there's a little blurb and excerpt. I'll tweet it out at NELL_BTP. Zach Ertz was big time last year. And I will never forget. This is why I say this industry that we're in, sports media, is the greatest profession ever. It's like we're weathermen. The only world in the profession where you can be dead ass wrong and get promoted, keep your job.
Yeah.
People think highly of you still.
It's pretty great.
I was in the minority, or maybe I was in the majority, I guess, when Zach Ertz was signed. I was sitting right here with my guy Chris Russell, and the news came across the ticker. And remember, they signed him before free agency started last year. So he was their first new commander. Mm-hmm. And that was our like intro to, you know, Adam Peters and Cliff and company. When they signed him, I rolled my eyes and said, why did we sign this old ass catch and fall merchant?
You're unmoved.
You know what I'm saying? Was unmoved. The needle did not move for your boy. I was not a fan of the Zach Ertz signing last year. Boy, did he make an ass out of me. Not only did Zach Ertz exceed expectation last year, every metric analytic shows that he was quite literally one of the best tight ends in football last year. And it's crazy because at 34 years of age, you just don't expect it. You just don't expect it. Now, the numbers aren't super gaudy, but they kind of are for a tight end. 66 catches, 654 yards, 7 touchdowns. And really by season's end was the safety net for Jaden Daniels and the guy in the red zone.
Yeah. Like, they had this unspoken kind of like
weird
mental connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because like Zach Ertz would, I mean, go out, hit the hitch, find a soft spot. Jaden would immediately find him. Boom.
Ball's there.
First down. Ball's there.
So their rapport was huge last year. And I don't think, and Jaden would attest to this, I don't think Jaden has the career or the rookie year that he had without Zach Ertz being Mr. Steady Eddie and so reliable for him.
Agreed.
A season ago. Couple of advanced analytics on Zach Ertz from our guy Aaron Schatz of ESPN. Ertz ranked 10th among all tight ends in DYAR. That's defense adjusted yards above replacement metric. This is the one that stands out to me because throughout the duration of his career, he was not known for this. Last year, he had an 85.7 run block win rate, one of the best among starting tight ends in the NFL. And Washington got him back on the chizzeep, as I like to call it. 1 year, $6.2 million. They didn't go out and address the tight end position in the draft or free agency. I didn't expect them to. One, they brought in one of their own, brought back rather one of their own, and John Bates, who we consider to be one of the best blocking tight ends in football. Zach Ertz has said as much as well. And they drafted Ben Sinnott in the second round, a year ago. So I didn't have this high expectation for them to add an outside piece to this room. One thing that we talked about leading up to the start of free agency was how much money Zach Ertz was going to be able to garner, because the numbers are pretty damn good. The numbers are good. The impact on the team individually, I thought, would boost his figure up just a little bit. They got him back on a discount, as I mentioned. 1 year, $6.2 million. Incentive-laden deal. I obviously don't know the escalators in his contract, but the one thing that, you know, makes me enamored by him is Dan Quinn and company last year, they don't get enough credit for it. We keep talking about how the injury bug kind of escaped Washington a year ago. I don't think the injury bug escaped Washington. I think the preventative maintenance was some of the best that you're going to see across the NFL. And I remember training camp practice number one. The first thing that stands out, I just started sweating. You know, big boys out there. I got my long sleeve on. I'm working out there too, people. So I break a sweat and the whistle blows. And the way practice goes, the media runs from one side to the other so we can get lined up for our interviews. And the whistle blew hella early, it felt like. Their first training camp practice was 45 minutes. Why? They ramp up everything. Everything's a ramp up period with this group. They leave no stone unturned when it comes to, you know, player performance, the preventative maintenance, all of that. I think, one, Dan Quinn is just super smart and gets it. Also, Josh Harris has made it very abundantly clear. There is nothing that I'm not willing to do to ensure the betterment of this football program. And I think the training room got upgraded. The equipment in there got upgraded. So they were just better. And it allowed Zach Ertz, in turn, as we're talking about, to have a big year. Aaron Schatz has Zach Ertz rated as his most underrated tight end in all of the National Football League. I think it's for good reason. Here's the thing, though. When we're talking about Zach Ertz, let's be real about it, right? Last year, he was 34. This year, I believe he'll turn 35 at some point during the season. Got to look at the birthday to be exact. But at some point, you are going to have to find a replacement for Zach Ertz. I'm going to say a name that's going to piss a lot of you off, but I still keep him in my good graces because I think he's just a physical specimen. And I actually thought he had a pretty good camp last year. He had a big drop, though, in that preseason finale that I think got him cut. Cole Turner. And Zach Ertz will be 35 in November. November what, Mad Max?
November 10.
Ooh, 4 days older than allegedly the second youngest in charge. But no, last year it was very clear with Ertz that there was some juice in his step. He played really well. My question is, can he replicate that success next year? If you're somebody out there that has doubts or reservations about that, welcome to the party. It's not a slight or a jab at Zach Ertz. It's the reality of the situation. It's the reality of the situation. You can get at us in the YouTube chat as well. The Team 980's YouTube page is where you can check out the Kevin Sheehan Show live 10 to 1 Monday through Friday. Make sure you hit the like button, the subscribe button, and turn on the notifications to stay up to speed with all things DC sports. I want to read a tweet from our guy, Marcus Edelin, who says, Linnell, what you said about preventative care is going to restart Marshawn Lattimore's career.
I hope so.
I hope it does, too. In terms of, like, he is that chess piece for this defense that I think will really dictate whether or not
they're
an average unit or a really good unit.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Edelin also says looking for a big jump in Ben Sinnott this year. So the social team posted him the other day making a one-handed grab.
I did see this.
You saw that? It was similar to the NFC Championship game catch.
It was. But did you see Josh Norris of Underdog also put out?
Yes, him blocking.
Yes, a Ben Sinnett blocking weapon tweet yesterday. And I was like, huh. Interesting.
So here's the thing. when I look at Ben Sinnott and what he ultimately could be in his career, I think that Jets catch in preseason and the run after catch kind of
we had three guys on
you
him.
Know yeah. it changed how we view him.
Set think, expectations yes, pretty high.
I think he's more John Bates than he is Zach Ertz.
For sure, I could see that. You know what I'm absolutely, saying? Yeah. Because I mean, when he came into the league, he was billed as like a Juszczyk
yes
type, and Juszczyk feels a lot closer to John Bates than he does 100%. Zach Ertz. You know what I mean?
100%. So. That's real. Our guy Chike Kamara says, my thing about Michael Gallup is he was kind of injured frequently. Both Cowboys receivers that we have here are injured a lot, 100%. Mark says, Willingham, you're a G at this work. Keep it up. I appreciate you all chiming in. Look, on Mike Gallup here real quick, our video producer, who I'm guessing this is you that typed in via the Team 980.
Of course, it was Brian.
Says, Michael Gallup's knee was cooked food after that ACL surgery, and he lost explosiveness that made him a top-tier deep ball threat. I think that is fair. One thing about the ACL tear, I don't like to judge guys immediately following the clearance because there is you get cleared.
There's, like you said, a ramp up.
Right, and I can speak to this. So I tore my ACL three times. Terrible luck. So the one thing I noticed each time coming back, and right now I actually feel the best, when you tear it, how they clear you is there's a set of hurdles you got to clear. There's a checklist, one of which is atrophy to your quad. They measure your injured quad to your healthy quad. I got cleared, but I still had about a centimeter and a half, 2 centimeters difference in atrophy. And some people are going to think that's nothing. You can be cleared physically, but you're still working to build that muscle back, which in turn translates directly to the explosiveness element of it. So maybe Michael Gallup, because he's a couple of years removed from being under the knife, maybe there are some steps he has taken physically, right, to get himself back to where he once was, as Brian alluded to, one of the elite deep ball threats in the National Football League. He used to cook our ass. Him and Dak used to go crazy against us.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, use members that, don't you, Mad Max? No. Bottom line is this, though. Aaron Schatz has Zach Ertz rated as most underrated tight end in the NFL. I think it's a damn good take. I feel like Ertz going into next year, our guy Mike Clay of ESPN projected a pretty sizable statistical drop-off for Zach Ertz. I think he only had him with like 483 yards, almost down 200 yards. And that makes sense when you consider the added weapons. Debo, Jalen Lane, hopefully the running game's better. So maybe there are just less opportunities for him. Maybe Ben Sinnott takes a step forward as well. But I think as we sit here today, he is your best red zone weapon. Zach Ertz. I know Terry, it ain't no slight to you. We'll get to you coming up at noon, brother. But Zach Ertz, the body control, the body posturing, the use of leverage, it just came up huge for this group last year. He got robbed against Pittsburgh when they didn't give him the centimeter ball spot that they should have given him.
Kind of got robbed against Chicago on a touchdown that probably should have been called. But then again, yes. I was there, and it looked like a touchdown to me, but yeah. I also could very – my brain might be changing the memory in my head.
Yeah. But no, he was a huge part of this offense last year. I expect him to have a similar role this year because they haven't necessarily replaced his role, so to speak, as that third down chain mover, that red zone guy. His stat line in the NFC Championship game was like nuts. And I get some of the catches came in garbage time to where the game was over.
Yeah, but he still balled out.
He had like 15 catches for 130 yards, something ridiculous. Yeah. So I think he's excited about it. I know there is he talked about it. Cliff reinvigorated him last year in his love for the game. So I know when that happens, guys have that extra motivation to put that work in. He's been here all offseason. I don't think he's left. He came out and watched the rookie mini camp practice last week, just taking stock in what the young fellas look like. Zach Ertz is here to stay. And I think he's going to have a productive, I don't know how productive, but I think he's a key part of the offense next year. Bringing up Zach Ertz, though, if you're going to bring up one old horse, you got to bring up the other. Bobby Wagner on this Commanders defense, another guy that's a little long in the tooth, really integral part of their success last year. He was brought back on a 1-year deal as well. When we come back, I want to open up the phones here at 301-230-0980. Aaron Schatz has Zach Ertz ranked as the most underrated tight end in the NFL. If you're going to bring up Ertz, I want to bring up Wagner. Which Commander vet is most likely to replicate last year's success? Bobby Wagner or Zach Ertz? I'll give you my thoughts on that, plus take your calls next here on the Team 980. It is the Kevin Sheehan Show right here on the Team 980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. Lynnell Willingham sitting in for a guy, Kevin Sheehan. Take you up to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Chris Russell will pick you up from there. A lot to get to as we're talking all things Washington Commanders right now. Aaron Schatz of ESPN listed his most underrated players at every position in the National Football League. At the tight end spot, he lists Zach Ertz. Ertz, the only Commander to make Aaron Schatz's most underrated list. Zach Ertz coming off of a big 2024 campaign where he was, you know, the bona fide red zone target for the Washington Commanders. 66 catches, 654 yards, and 7 touchdowns. He was the go-to guy for Jayden Daniels in the red zone a season ago. The metric that Schatz gave out that kind of surprised me, I would say, with Zach Ertz throughout his career, most known as a pass catching tight end, his 85.7% run block win rate was one of the best amongst starting tight ends last year. So who says you can't get better with age, right? He aged like fine wine, adding another tool to his toolbox as a player. He was a big time blocker for the Burgundy and Gold last year as well. Anytime I bring up Zach Ertz, I think about Austin Eckler, and I think about Bobby Wagner. Three veterans that Washington brought in. All three guys had pretty good success last year as well. What I want to chew on right now at 301-230-0980, I want to expand it to Austin Eckler as well, because he's also a part of the old guard for the Washington Commanders. Which of these veteran Commanders are most likely to replicate last year's success? We gave you the numbers for Zach Ertz. Bobby Wagner, an all-pro last year for the Washington Commanders. PFF had him listed as one of the top three linebackers in all the National Football League. Another 100-plus tackle season. Played, it was 98% of the defensive snaps for Washington. Wore the green dot. Just an absolute godsend for this defense. Can he put up those numbers again next year? That is my question with Bobby Wagner. Now, clearly, I think in that Tampa playoff game, he played out of his damn mind. Was brilliant in that one. But there were moments during the season where Bobby Wagner did not play particularly well. And I continue to say that, look, whenever we have conversations about Bobby Wagner or anybody on this Commanders team, I am going to be open, honest, and transparent about everything, because I don't have any cut cards, right? I love this team, but I also have to be responsible with my analysis. Bobby Wagner, that's 98% of your snaps last year. I said it at the start of the offseason. I don't want him playing that volume of snaps next year. I just don't. Not anything that Bobby did wrong. I just think at some point, right, Father Time will catch up to you. It started to catch up to him a little bit last year.
I do think that probably 98% definitely wasn't the plan going into the season.
Right.
Because you had Jordan McGee. Right. And they very high on Jordan McGee. I think still think they're very high on Jordan McGee. It's just he got injured at the beginning of the season and was dealing with it pretty much throughout. And so, yeah, getting you're going to get 98% of the snaps for Bobby when that happens.
Yeah.
But hopefully coming into this season, he's a little bit more healthy, can step into the role a little bit better. He's got more knowledge of the system with a full year under his belt. So hopefully Jordan McGee can kind of take the pressure off of him.
I hope that that is the case. Jordan McGee, if you watch the Falcons' final game of the regular season and then that Tampa Bay Bucks playoff game, actually started each of those two games when they came out in their base defense. 301-230-0980 is the number. Taking your calls on who is more likely to replicate last year's success, Bobby Wagner or Zach Ertz. I wanted to throw Austin Eckler into this conversation as well, another older member of the Commanders that came in and was able to have instant success for this football team. Real quick on Austin Eckler, I know the injuries limited him last year a little bit, But I thought he was pretty damn good when he was in there and healthy. Only played 12 games for Washington. Ran for a tick under 400 yards and four touchdowns. The receiving element of Austin Eckler's game is what really got me. 35 catches, damn near 400 yards. Here's the other thing. He averaged 10.5 yards a catch last year. That was his most since 2019. So Austin Eckler was a big play threat for this offense last year. I'm excited to have him back in the fold. Think about this, man. Like, I'm just ready for it. It feels like this group is ready to go. Let's go to Rob, and Frederick wants to chime in. Rob, which veteran of the Commanders do you think is most likely to replicate last season's success?
I think Eckler's got a good shot on the catching department. The reason I was saying, you were talking about Bobby Wagner.
Yeah.
I think they were really anticipating a young rookie coming in there and taking some breathers, but he got hurt. So I think he's going to be the key this year for that linebacking group and just spell Bobby Wagner, especially late down in the season.
For sure. I think, as Max kind of alluded to, that is the plan. I think Jordan McGee is the guy that's been brought up. Another guy not to sleep on, Cam Medrano, who they drafted from UCLA, a guy that I definitely think has the chops to potentially replace him as well. Yep, appreciate you as always, man. So I'll say this as well about Bobby Wagner. Max, I think I asked you this question on overtime several different times. If Bobby was not wearing the green dot last year, which is another big reason why he played 98% of the snaps, he was the best at setting up this defense and calling it. And by the way, how many busted coverages did you see last year with Washington? Not a lot.
They were not many that I can remember,
man. They were consistently in position. We don't know who would have been the green dot guy if it wasn't for Bobby Wagner. I would happen to think last year it would have been Jeremy Chinn.
Yeah.
This year, I'm not sure. Well, maybe it's Quan Martin.
Yeah, Quan, so, Frank maybe, but Frank's a little bit closer to the line.
Yeah, so you want somebody that's, yeah.
Yeah, you want somebody who can see the entirety of the defense. So yeah, Quan would probably, if Revo's out there, depending on how your safety depth looks, I mean, we'll see kind of what we got closer to camp and closer to the season, but yeah, it's green dot's a mystery
right now. It is, and I keep looking at a couple other cats from last year. Dominic Hampton, the safety that they drafted out of Washington, apparently has put on sizable amount of weight this offseason. So looking to make that switch to dime linebacker, maybe full-time, and not be as much of an impact player at the safety position. Our guy Marcus Edelin in the YouTube chat says he thinks Bobby Wagner most likely to replicate last year's success. It's a very interesting debate to me because I can see it from both guys' perspective. Bobby, I think, has to replicate it by necessity. For Ertz, if someone else is able to emerge offensively, I think the tight end is always going to be a part of this offense, first and foremost. But I think there is more competition, I would guess, for targets and things of that nature for Ertz compared to Bobby, who is the Mike linebacker, who is the green dot guy. But what say you, though? 301-230-0980. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. Which veteran commander most likely to replicate last year's success? Bobby Wagner or Zach Ertz, who was listed as the most underrated tight end in the NFL by Aaron Schatz of ESPN? I got Rod is in Landover. Wants to chime in. What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Hey, man. I'm good. How are you, man?
I'm good.
So, look, I say both of them, man, to be honest with you, because – I think on both sides of the ball, we done got better. I think we got bigger, stronger, faster on that D-line. I think we got, you know, stronger and faster with the rookie that we got, the wide receiver rookie, and then adding Debo, got stronger, we got tougher. We got guys that got chips on their shoulders.
Yeah.
I think both of them guys, man, got the potential of continuing, you know, what they started last year. Ertz, man, I mean, I think it's going to open the field up a little bit more for him because, you know, with Debo and all them guys. And then I think on the opposite side of the field with the guys that we got on the defensive line, I think it's going to make Wagner's job, Bobby Wagner's job a little bit easier. So I think both of them. I think both of them, man, they veterans. They guys that bring it every time they get on the field. You know, but both of them, you can count on them. You know, I say both.
Yeah, okay.
I think both of them, man.
Okay. I think that's interesting. Which one to you do you think is closest to hanging it up?
Man, that's I almost say both of them too. I would say maybe Wagner.
Yeah.
You know, simply because the position he played.
Right.
Because every down you hitting somebody. So, and I guess you could kind of say the same thing with the tight end too. But I would say probably Wagner. But looking at Zach Ertz last mm-hmm. year, man, and listening to the way he talked, I mean, it seemed like he can go on for a little while.
I mean,
he got Jaden Daniels throwing him the ball, man. He got Cliff Kingsbury calling him plays. I mean, he looked like he can go for a little while.
I happen to agree with you, man. I was super impressed by the way he performed. Appreciate you tapping in as always, Rod. Enjoy your weekend, brother, man. 301-230-0980 is the number. Aaron Schatz of ESPN has Zach Ertz listed as the most underrated tight end in all of the National Football League. It got me thinking, which veteran on the Commanders is most likely to replicate last year's success? He had a big year from Zach Ertz, and it was kind of unexpected to me. Keep reading the numbers here. 66 catches for 654 yards, 7 touchdowns. Really was that red zone guy for Jaden Daniels. And, you know, the rapport that those two were able to build. I continue to say it. Love Jaden. Had a great rookie year. It doesn't happen without Zach Ertz playing the way that he played. He won the Falcons game for us, making that big-time contested catch. Ertz was a godsend for this group last year. I can say the same thing about Bobby Wagner, though. And I had my reservations about Bobby when he was signed. And I'm lying. I didn't. When Bobby was signed, I was geeked. I was on updates, actually, that day on The Fan. I actually broke the news right when it happened. I couldn't believe it. We got Bobby Wagner here in D.C., first ballot Hall of Famer. He's using his off-the-field stuff to his advantage as well. He's enrolled at Howard University. He's just doing everything at a high level. He struggled a little bit at the beginning of the season. Then I think he really got into his groove after about week 4. But then, obviously, there were times where the speed that he lacks kind of showed up. Example one, that NFC Championship game. The other thing about Wagner that I feel like doesn't get talked about maybe enough is the role that he played in this run defense struggling last year. And I know no one wants to talk about it because we love Bobby and we don't want to say that, you know, Bobby can do anything wrong, but Bobby at times struggled moving laterally. Picked the wrong hole when playing the run, him and Frankie Louvu. So the big question is, who is more likely to replicate last year's success of those veteran Commanders, Zach Ertz or Bobby Wagner? Mark is in. Laurel wants to chime in. What's going on, Mark?
Yeah, I just wanted to say both these guys are finished. I mean, you're talking about Bobby Wagner. I mean, they had one of the worst defense in history last year.
In history?
You're going to bring back the oldest guy in football?
Come on. In history? Mark, come on.
Yeah, well, it was just awful. I mean, it was just awful. I mean, they played one of the worst offensive. The schedule was a cupcake last year.
Right, I get you.
But again, you bring back the oldest guy in the NFL. I mean, the dude didn't do anything last year on a terrible defense. So, what more impact can he have, really? And then Ertz, at this point, really, he can't offer no explosive plays. He can't get off the ball. I mean, he was just a security blanket last year. But again, both these guys, the question you should have. With both of these guys finish the season because of health, but both of these guys are finished. You rely on both of these guys, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. What they should have done is open the pocketbook up. They got plenty of money and just upgraded the positions. All right, that's all I'm going to say about you. Have a good one, buddy.
Hey, I appreciate you. Mark and Laurel bringing it strong. I totally disagree from Marcus's standpoint. I think Justin Tech types in the chat, question mark, I hate us? It seems like the last caller did, right? But no, look, if you're going to make an argument that those two, he says, hashtag dumbest fan base. Look, I didn't say it. But no, I think the last caller has a point. I do think there is a risk involved with running it back with those two coming up next season. Father Time is undefeated for the most part. I think the preventative maintenance that I continue to talk about was a big reason why they were able to stay healthy most of the year, talking about Bobby and Zach Ertz. The Bobby Wagner disrespect got to chill, though. Are you kidding? Bobby, we were one of the worst defenses in the NFL last year. I think that's a very, very difficult thing to say, very difficult thing to sell. He had his shortcomings because he's older, and there's going to be some sort of drop-off to his play. But big picture, like, he was huge for this defense, as was Zach Ertz. And the more and more I think about it, remember how much camaraderie was a part of this team last year. Remember how important that was to the success of last year. Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz were brought in. We knew that there would be veteran leadership naturally that they have. But I think the production that you got from them, to me, they both outplayed, you know, what I thought they were capable of, which is why I raised the question, is it replicable heading into next year? 301-230-0980. I'll officially answer the question and take your calls next on the Team 980.
All right, big night for the Nats as they extend their win streak to 5 games. Ahmed Rosario walked it off over the Braves. Nats win 8-7. Robert Hassel becomes the first Nat to notch 2 hits and 1 stolen base in their debut. And the Panthers, they waxed the Hurricanes 5-0 in the Eastern Conference Final in the NHL. In the NBA, the Western Conference Final, the Thunder, they beat the Timberwolves 118-103. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, the 2025 MVP, with 38-3-8. Caitlin Clark's 140-game streak of scoring at least 1 3-point bucket has come to an end. The Fever still able to pull out the win, 81-76. The Colorado Rockies are off to the worst start, the worst 50-game start in MLB history after they are swept by the Philadelphia Phillies. They sit at 8-42. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.